This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Slack. Slack is a messaging app which brings together all your team's communication into one place, making work simpler and more productive. Go to slack.com to learn more. RX Bar is a whole food protein bar with no BS. Get 25% off your first order by going to rxbar.com/Andrew and using the promo code Andrew. That's rxbar.com/Andrew, promo code Andrew. Hey everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Thurrott. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good. I'd ask you how you're doing, but
not good.
I can see that we're 24 minutes late today.
Sorry. Everything was fine. And then, really bizarre, all of a sudden, I had a kernel panic on this Mac. And it's 100% because of the dongle.
Yeah, we can let that one pass. Hold on. Kernel panic? But I thought Macs were perfect.
I thought so, too.
You're telling me that you had a blue screen, but that it's just not colored blue.
No. It just tells me that something went wrong, and it has to do with the dongle that I was using. I'm because I looked at it, it's a USB problem. So I connected a new dongle to make sure this doesn't happen. I went to use Firefox, and Firefox is at 100% CPU whenever I connect my camera and I connect my mic. And so it became a whole disaster. So now I'm using a webcam and just the microphone that I was using.
Wow.
In Chrome, and seems to be fine in Chrome, but Firefox does not want to work. This is you know, computing.
Technology often fails us.
Yeah.
In sharp contrast to my usual quote.
Yeah, sometimes it sucks. I mean, that's the reality of it. But I mean, amazing. You know, when I was just talking about how amazing this is, I could hook up the Sony camera and I'm using this tiny little thing that's $100. Mm-hmm. I don't blame that. I think it's maybe they got to rethink this whole not using USB and forcing you to use a dongle, right? Because I bought this. Right, I paid like $30. Thing is causing all these problems. This is like my third one. Yeah.
Or Thunderbolt 3.
It's Thunderbolt.
It's
Thunderbolt 3. Yeah, it is. To USB, because I thought maybe that would be the problem, but no.
I always sort of like to believe that the next thing's going to solve the problem. You know, like if we can get past the USB throughput limitations and move forward to this Thunderbolt 3 world, it will all have been worth the effort, you know?
Yeah.
But,
you know, there's a lot of wasting time happening when you have to, you have so many variables here. But I think before we go into, obviously we're going to talk about the Apple event and a couple other things. But I got the glass, Paul. I got the glass thermostat.
Yep. How is it?
I have not hooked it up yet because I have no wall to put it on. So that's going to be coming up next week. And I'm going to be doing a full review of that, which I do want to talk about how everything is changing. You know, everything is connected. Everything is going on. I do want to take this moment to talk about our great sponsor, and that's Slack. Slack is a collaboration hub that lets you organize your team's work in an easy, searchable channel. So whether it's a project, interest, teams, or by office, you can search whatever you need, all the right people in the right place, and everybody's kept in the loop. This is a great company. I utilize it every single day. I'm able to kind of send images to different departments and use it that way. Also, over 1,000 applications could be integrated with Slack. So it fits your need, no matter what you're doing, whether it's Salesforce or Zendesk or Google Drive, you can do all that. And it has an iOS and Android app where everything seems syncs seamlessly. Go to slack.com to find out more. That's slack.com, where work happens. Where do you want to begin with this Apple event, Paul? Yesterday was the iPhone announcement. They announced a slew of products about all iPhones, obviously. And there's a lot of names. There is the iPhone XS, the iPhone XS Max, and the iPhone XSR. Now, is the XSR, the XR, right?
Nope, XR.
No, 10R. See, this is the problem. Is it a 10R?
Really should have gone
with
the number 10. It's a 10R.
They really should have. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I don't.
How many people
the other ones, I can get away with it.
Yeah.
I see XR. That's all I see. I don't see 10S. I don't see.
It looks like the brand of a Sony camera or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. So where do you want to begin with this? Because there was a bunch of stuff that was announced.
Well, it's funny. They started with the Apple Watch. I don't think the Apple Watch deserves too much time, not because it's not a good product, but because it's just kind of clear cut, right? They've done the bezel-less thing. So the sizes kind of remain the same, but the screens get bigger. I think it's prettier than it was before. They've gone even further down the road toward it being almost like a purely health-focused device, which I think makes tons of sense. And that, you know, there you go. I mean, there's not a lot to say about it. You know, that was the first half of the keynote, and it was monotonous. But you know, for people who like Apple Watch, want Apple Watch, are wondering if they should upgrade to this version of the Apple Watch, it's a good upgrade. It's it's nice, but I don't think it warrants too much attention beyond what I just said. Unless you have some thoughts, I mean.
No, little small upgrades for the sake of upgrades, fixes here and there. I really didn't, it did nothing for me, the Apple Watch announcement.
Okay.
Was there anything that stood out?
I'm not going to be an Apple Watch customer. So to me, there's nothing that they'll ever make me go down this path, right? It's less than 1 day battery life. I'm not interested in charging something every single night like that. That gets the most benefit from actually being on my wrist, like the Fitbit Last that I'm wearing lasts for 6 days or whatever that number is. You forget about it. It's wonderful. It doesn't do as much. It's not as pretty. I get that, but that's the trade-off. So I just like the long battery life. But the iPhone stuff is very, actually I should say before we go into the iPhone, cause the iPhone stuff was very interesting. It's an S year, yada, yada, yada. But there's a couple of things that kind of get lost in this discussion, either because they weren't mentioned or because they were kind of expected. So no MacBook announcement like we had hoped for, no iPad Pro announcement like has been rumored. And Apple conspicuously left out a couple of details about things that were not happening. So, for example, this is the first year since, I don't remember what year, it might have been the year they released the iPhone 5S. At some point, remember, Apple responded to criticism that they only sold really expensive phones by starting to sell last year's model alongside the new phones as something that was, you know, $100 less expensive or whatever. And then 1 year they added like the previous 2 years' phones, you know. This is the first year since they made that change that they are not offering their flagship from last year, which was the iPhone 10. And I think that's kind of notable. I think it would have bit too much into their little current strategy and it didn't make sense. But I find that to be very interesting because we might be having a very different conversation today if you're an Apple customer about what the sweet spot is in the lineup. Because when you go from the iPhone 10 to the 10S, it's really not a major update in any way, shape, or form. And you could make a case, you could save some money by going to this other thing. But now we'll make a case for saving money a different way. Canceled
right now, I think
the
7 different models, right? 7 different phones.
Well, but this is not any different than it was 2 weeks ago as far as like what they offered. Except that flagship from last year is no longer available. That's kind of interesting. The SE is gone. So you used to be able to get into an iPhone for $350 if you bought an iPhone SE. It's a couple of years, it was literally 2 years old. It was about 3 years behind the times in terms of componentry. They had been rumored to be working on an SE2 that would have brought it up to date. And then there were rumors that maybe it'll have the new design and it kind of went back and forth and now it's gone. So we don't know what's happening there if it ever comes back. But the net result is that the cheapest iPhone you can buy today, new, is an iPhone 7, which is a 2-year-old design. It's $449. And so the base price of the iPhone, new, has gone up by $50 to $100, depending on which one you're looking at. But the lowest price iPhone is now $100 more than it used to be. And that's actually pretty significant.
That is significant. So the iPhone 7 is the 7 Plus, the 8, the 8 Plus, then the slew of the new 10s are in the lineup now. We'll never get this, right? We'll never figure this out because how many people are walking in to buy an iPhone 7? Like, do you, I would love to know how people are shopping, because I don't know anybody that goes in to buy the older phone. They always go to when they're up for an upgrade, when they break their phone, they just get, you know, whatever the newest one is.
Well, so but what maybe they don't, you know, we'll never know. I mean, I've long been of the belief that the majority of Apple's customers are actually buying lower end or older phones, right? Just because of the cost. You know, there's that phenomenon, like the most recent example, well, aside from this stuff, I guess, is Microsoft announced the Surface Go. And for $399, you can buy this piece of crap computer that no one should buy, and it's terrible. But because people are interested in the price of the thing, and it's a Surface, they might go to the store and try it out, and Microsoft will say, hey, look, over here, for $150 more, we have this version that is, like, passingly usable. And a lot of people will upgrade at that point. Because, and they'll feel good about it because they, you know, they've made a good decision for themselves. They spent a little more money than they thought. You know, it's like the stripper car they get you into the dealership for. But I think with Apple, I think the same thing kind of happens. I think, you know, these phones will get people into the store. And like I said, you know, they're not selling the iPhone 10 from last year. I think a lot of people would have come into the store driven by these new phones and their design. And then they would have been like, well, wait a minute, what's this thing over here that's cheaper? And it's like 90% as good. And I think a lot of people would have bought that. I think the people who are buying the older phones, like today, the iPhone 7 or the iPhone 8, are people who simply can't afford the expensive phones. And there must be lots of those people. Or you mentioned people like they broke their phone. I mean, this happened to me. So a couple of years ago, my phone was actually stolen, my iPhone, a couple of years ago, many years ago. It was like an iPhone 3. It was either 3G or 3GS. And I remember that year, whatever year it was, I made the decision to stop being so cheap, but I'm going to get the high-end version. And it got stolen. So I don't remember how much it cost, but it was a lot of money for the day. And then I had to make a decision because I needed to get a phone. And so I don't remember exactly what I got, but it must have been a 3GS because Apple started selling a new version of the 3G that had a different amount of storage than it normally came with. And it was the cheapest phone at the time. And I bought that. You know, and it was just like, I'd already spent like $1,000 on a phone. It wasn't 1,000. It was probably like 700, whatever the figure was. And I just couldn't stomach doing it again. You know, so I bought the cheaper one and I just kind of sucked it up for the next.
Here's why I say this, right? Because I'm sure I'm going to get a message on YouTube that says, not everyone could afford, you know, the highest model, Andrew. Who are you hanging out with? The Rockefellers? And the reason why I say this is because people aren't buying the phone. People don't go to Apple and buy a phone. What they do, they have their carrier, they go to Apple and they have Verizon and they pay $30 to $40 a month within, you know, in their plan. So that's how people are purchasing these phones. Are they, I'm willing to bet that it's not a large
down $1,000.
And very few. Yeah. Well, now $1,500, right? Who's walking into Apple to buy a $1,500 iPhone?
Well, that's like, I mean, no one's buying that phone. That's ludicrous. Like a 512 gigabyte, you know, monstrosity.
So here's my question. When you offer the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 8 and the iPhone, you know, 10 and that whole lineup, are you kind of undercutting your sales of the iPhone 10 by offering so many different options between the 7 and the 8? You know, I don't have a point in this. I'm curious with the thought process of offering the 7 and the 8 at the same time.
Here are the facts. We don't know what the mix is, but here are some facts. Apple sells tens of millions of units every month, every quarter. They are the number one phone brand in the world, and the iPhone is the number one selling phone in the world, or whatever it is. Fine. But the thing is, in a market in which Apple and the market is experiencing flat sales, Apple is showing a revenue gain year over year. So how are they doing that? They're selling more expensive phones. This strategy is working for them. So people, you know, someone asked me on Twitter the question, you were kind of pretending someone had asked you, which is like, you know, how normal people are not buying these phones. Yeah, normal people are buying these phones. By the way, in this coming quarter, Apple is going to sell 70 million-ish of these things. And it doesn't really matter what that, well, actually kind of does matter. But the thing we're going to get out of that number is the average selling price of an iPhone is going up because of their mix. And so The one thing we can't really there's all kinds of ways to criticize Apple. They've got all kinds of problems, but the one thing they really know how to do is sell products.
Yeah.
They're going to sell the shit out of this. And
yeah,
we can't, it may not make sense to us. I mean, Apple, you know, has their own kind of way of doing things, and it doesn't always make sense, but they know what they're doing. And I mentioned the iPhone 10 last year's model and how they're not selling it. The reason they're not selling it is they have this other thing called the iPhone 10R, which is kind of an awkward name, like we were saying, but it only differs from the flagship phones in very minor ways. This is not like when Apple introduced the iPhone 5C as its 1 year strategy for doing a low cost phone. The iPhone 5C was constrained in a lot of ways. Technically, it was not as good as the iPhone 5S, which I think is the version that it debuted next to. And they only sold it for 1 year. It just didn't kind of work out. In fact, I think that phone might have kicked off this strategy of keeping the previous models around that we see today, but whatever. This isn't like this. This only differs from the flagships in a few ways, and these ways may mean nothing to a lot of people. You know, it's got a single camera instead of a dual camera system. It has
LCD. It has liquid retina. Liquid retina,
which is the worst name ever to describe a resolution of something. Yeah, it has a lower res screen than the higher ends, which I don't think people will care. It does have the True Tone stuff, and it's Apple always has done a great job with LCD displays. It's going to be beautiful. There's no doubt about it. It comes in colors, which is something you don't get on the higher end phones. Side by side, I think most people would say, I can't really, you know, aluminum versus stainless steel, who cares? You know, like this one isn't made of unicorn farts, but it's made of aluminum, and aluminum is nice, and it's going to be a beautiful phone. And this is the reason we don't see the iPhone 10 from last year. This is the replacement. And I think this is going to be the volume. This is going to be the volume seller. So,
well, you know, here's my thoughts here, okay? I didn't think Apple would remove the old models, right? That's not what they do. They keep the old generation. What I anticipated when I started seeing the rumors and the information about this phone, I said, oh, this is how they're going to get people to spend more money. They're not going to have the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 8. This is going to replace that size, right? Because it's the same size as the 8 Plus and the 7 Plus. It's going to replace that, so they're no longer going to sell you an old phone at a cheaper cost. Mm-hmm. Instead, they're going to have this phone for $749 or whatever it is, and that will replace the older generation. But instead, you're right. They replace the iPhone 10 with this new one, with the R.
So, yeah, yes. And they still are selling two older generations of phones, which I think is fine. It's fine. They're fine. All of the new phones have the new design. Last year, only one phone had the new design, right? The other two had the old design. So, you know, we kind of move forward in that way. And I think that makes tons of sense. And, you know, maybe it's 2 years from now, but eventually the iPhone 7 is going to get pushed out. A year later, the iPhone 8 is going to get pushed out. And all of the iPhones will then share this kind of notchy design or whatever.
So let's look at some of the specs and the differences, or some of the improvements. There is a camera improvement with the 10S and the 10S Max. They share the same camera, correct? It's just everything's the same, just the size and the battery?
Right. Yes. Yes.
The A12 Bionic processor, and again with these names, Bionic. A12 Bionic processor is expected to run things a little bit faster with 4 gigs of RAM. The new A12 mm-hmm. processor, I'm reading this on Therat.com, is the industry's first 7-nanometer processor, including two performance cores. That is a 15% increase while using 40% less power, which is nice. What were the camera improvements here? Because I really didn't. They didn't really dive headfirst in there. So they said it's smart HDR. They said it's 12 megapixels and 7 megapixels for the front.
Yeah. It's been for a long time. I mean, they said a larger sensor. We don't know. I think the camera improvements are very minor. In fact, the way they kind of, you can kind of tell by what they focused on is very minor. They really kind of brushed by this, but portrait mode has always been terrible at differentiating hair against a mixed background. And so if you have crazy hair and it's just a one color background, it's not bad, but you still see smudging. If you have normal hair, it's all over the place, especially a woman or someone with longer hair. and the background is mixed in anyway, you know, meaning different colors and textures and things.
Yeah.
It's just a smudgy mess. And so if you look through the examples they gave, most of them were someone wearing a hoodie where it was completely smooth, a woman with very short cropped hair, and then quickly, oh, there's a woman with actual hair. Oh, look, there's a smudge. And then they went right by it. You know, like they sort of pretended that, I mean, I'm sure there's some minor improvements to portrait mode, but as far as like core camera capabilities, same basic cameras from last year, slightly bigger sensor. And that's kind of that's all we know. And so we have to wait until there are independent tests to determine how or if this thing improves over the previous, like the iPhone X.
You know what was interesting with the XR, they didn't really dwell on this, and I read it a couple minutes ago. They got rid of 3D touch.
Yeah, So I think they're actually going away from 3D touch, right?
Like, yeah. 3D touch, they're replacing it. They're replacing it with a software-based solution called Haptic Touch.
Right.
New Haptic Touch features very similar experience to 3D touch.
Of course, because when 3D touch was announced, the commentary, you can go back and read what I wrote about it, which is, this is nonsense. You don't need this. Pressing and holding on a multi-touch screen and then triggering a right-click menu is something everyone does. Android does it. Windows Phone at the time did it. This is not magic. It doesn't require a special little motor in the screen and blah, 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 all the stupid shit that Apple did. It does not matter. I do it all the time on Android. I do it every day. There's no haptic engine in there. It's fine. You know, it's just right click. It's simple. It's something that's been it's just something we all use and don't think anything of. So that's fine. That was just a nonsense side trip that went nowhere.
So I'm assuming they're going to be getting rid of it in the future models as well. The 10F.
It's over. Yeah.
Okay. So overall, improvements like every other year, slight improvements here. They spoke about, you know, better battery performance and better video performance. And they give you these weird percentages that means nobody knows what it means. Every year, everything is 50 times faster and 25 times quicker. And battery life is 150 times better. But in the real world, we have no idea what that means. Yeah. We have no idea how they come up with these percentages. You know, my boss was telling me, and this was funny, we were talking about statistics, right? You could print it out. The numbers don't lie, but you could interpret those numbers in any possible way. So if I did really crappy, right? And I said, and I go to him, I'm like, you know, I had a 40% increase this week over week. You're going to think, wow, that's great, 40%. But in reality, if the number was nothing, it's still going to be nothing. It's a 40% increase. Right. So
yeah, like what are we comparing it to?
What are we comparing this to? Yeah. One, two, you know, I doubled. Yeah, because you did one and now you did two. So I don't know what this means for as far as performance goes. I'm curious to see how the camera does when you compare that to the iPhone X and not necessarily within it. You know, that's the interesting comparison for me.
I'm very interested in this, and they literally never provided any hard number of any kind for any improvement over the iPhone X. I expect it to be zero to minimal. And with that said, the iPhone X camera is fantastic. It's curious because every other phone maker is racing ahead to make sure there's all these new phone features. And they did spend a little bit of time. I'm sorry, camera features. They did spend a bit of time on the camera, but I kept waiting for that. You know, here's the measurement. Here's what, you know, and they really glossed over the important bits.
So they did add, you could do, I think, what was it? The bokeh, you could adjust that, right? The f-stop.
Yeah. Feature that's been available on Android phone for years. Yeah.
On Android for years. So now you can do that, which is fine.
It's great.
Just let's see what happens. I'm curious to see this comparison between the two. A couple other things I want to talk about, obviously. Yeah. A couple other things I want to talk about, obviously. But before we continue, I want to talk about our great sponsor, and that's RX Bar. Paul, I'm back on my diet. I don't know if you know this.
Okay.
I'm totally back on my diet, and I can't tell you how this time around it's been a struggle because I've lost something called self-control when it comes to eating.
Okay. All right.
So, I went off this diet and I've gained some weight, and the only thing that keeps me sane in the mornings from not wanting to just eat everything is I have an RX bar every single morning. And the reason why I do it, it's a phenomenal protein bar made 100% with ingredients and no BS. No bad stuff like added sugar, artificial colors, artificial flavors, preservatives, fillers, anything like that. It's exactly what you see. And I'm sure you guys have seen this. Go to any store, I see them all over Manhattan now, where it lists the ingredients that it has. So it'll say, you know, the eggs, it'll say eggs for the main source of protein, and it'll say, whether it's, nuts or what kind of chocolate, it lists everything that's on it. And it's only a couple ingredients, really. So, example, you could get the mango pineapple, the peanut butter and berries, the chocolate hazelnut. It lists everything, which is phenomenal. And I can't tell you, I hate protein bars. I think they taste horrible. This tastes unbelievable. I would eat this if it wasn't a protein bar. That's how good it is. And you could try it out. Here's a great offer. You got $25, 25% off your first order at rxbar.com/Andrew. When you use the promo code Andrew, when you check out, that's rxbar.com/Andrew. Use the promo code Andrew at checkout. I absolutely love these guys. I constantly am ordering the variety pack because I like to try the different ones from them. And there's a store right downstairs, and I forgot to put it in my bag. So I just went down there, grabbed it, and I'm fine. I haven't eaten anything other than that today. I know I'm not telling you that's how you should be dieting, but for me, this is enough. I'm able to keep going till mid-afternoon, and then I'll eat something. rxbar.com/Andrew. Go check them out. So this is interesting. Now we're in a... We make that joke and we say, like, well, the iPhone just works, right? But here's the reality. I'm talking about my father or Jess. They don't want to go to Samsung. Right. Because I just got a message from someone saying, like, oh, they're not adding pro features for the camera. They're only adding little minor things. I'm like, yeah, because they don't want to do that. They don't want to come up complicated for people.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I'm imagining people walking into that Apple store and having the exposure at, the highest percentage and be like, my camera's broken. I can't take a photo.
I feel like, the iPhone and Android both have their own advantages and whatever, and they're both fine. I think most people could use either one and they'd be fine. If your concern is that, like, I hear this from people all the time, like, I don't like the way Apple like controls everything and I want to make my own decisions, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think most people like think like that per se. You know, like I use Chrome on the iPhone. Now that means that every once in a while, Safari is still going to pop up because, whatever, I click on a link in whatever app and that's where it goes, whatever it is. And I don't find that to be hugely troublesome. And I don't think it's the type of thing that any normal person would even notice. And I think the benefit of Apple is something that normal people would notice, which is that everything does just work, right? It's, and for whatever it's worth, the apps, generally speaking, are of higher quality on the iPhone than they are on Android, period. They're of much higher quality if you move to the tablets, but just keeping it to the phone. Because I'm a tech guy, we're more knowledgeable than a normal consumer about this kind of stuff. So I could kind of complain like this grid of icons that we're using to launch apps is really antiquated and why we're still using this and blah, blah, blah. And Apple's, you kind of go on and on and on. It's like most people are just tapping on apps and going, they're not paying attention to this. And,
I see how people interact. I see how people interact every single day with their phone. You know what they're doing? They have their earbuds in. They're playing Bubble Busters or whatever stupid game, on the train. They're sending a text message and they're listening to a podcast. They're not, that is literally every single phone. I see somebody's playing Bejeweled.
That's kind of my point, right? Yeah. The interface for these people is not that grid of icons that I find so onerous as a really technical person and someone who thinks he knows something about user experience. It's Spotify. And the podcast app, and it's the game they're playing. The thing that they use to get there is the thing they have to get by to get to what they want to do. They don't give a crap what it looks like. I miss having live tiles from Windows Phone, Yeah, that's neat. They're going to sell 70 million of these things this quarter. Nobody cares about this thing that you miss. I'm sorry it's not there. I'm sorry it's not better. But truth is, though, you know, the world has moved on, and you know, you just have to kind of understand that. You don't have to agree with it necessarily, or you may decide it's not for you. That's fine. You're listening to this podcast. It's fine. But I mean, you can't really dump on somebody for buying an iPhone. You know, it's not reprehensible to want something that just gets out of your way and works so you can get on with life, because the point of life isn't to interact with the phone. It, you know, this is just a tool that you use to get certain things done. And, you know, we get caught up in this stuff. We're tech enthusiasts. You know, I get caught up in it for sure. But you have to understand the way that normal people think.
To kind of move on from the Apple stuff, Microsoft is having an October event here in New York City. October 2nd, right?
I think so. Whatever that Wednesday is, yeah.
The 3rd. What should we expect from this? Second. Are you coming for this?
I don't remember which day it is. Yes, I am coming. I actually have 2 days of events in New York. Microsoft, irritatingly, is holding this event late in the afternoon, which is terrible for me because I got to get back to Pennsylvania, which is 2 hours away.
Oh, that is gross.
We're traveling internationally 2 days after that. So that's fantastic. But yeah, I'll be there for three things, at least three things. Yeah, I can't really talk about the other things, but yes.
Okay. In terms of what's going to be announced, is that what you mean?
No, in terms of what I'm doing in New York, because there are some events. Microsoft has kind of publicly announced their event, but these other events are not necessarily public.
Okay, so as far as the event that they announced, what can we expect from that one? It's a Surface event?
Well, not exactly, but Surface is part of it. So I think they've not said, right? So no new form factors, which to me means new Surface Pro, new Surface laptop, maybe new Surface Studio. Those are the products that need to move forward to the current generation of chipsets. It's overdue. It's easy to expect that. It's in October, and it's in very early October. I wouldn't be surprised if they tied a Windows 10 thing to it. Last year when we went to the Surface Book 2 event, there was kind of a Windows 10 pavilion where you could go from, I don't know, kiosk to kiosk and learn about photos, learn about mixed reality, learn about whatever it is. I'm sure there'll be some component of that to it.
So I mean, the rumbling is that we're getting a redesigned Surface.
We're getting a new Surface. I don't think it's going to be redesigned.
You don't think it's going to be redesigned?
No, they specifically said no new form factors.
Okay, all right. Because that's been.
I mean, it's going to be new. It'll be up. You know.
Well, how about Andromeda? Anything for Andromeda? Are we getting Andromeda?
I believe I said no new form factors.
Anything with Andromeda? Can I just constantly ask you about Andromeda?
I'll just point back to my earlier statement about form factors and also to the fact that Microsoft has.
I will tell you right now, we are going to get a Surface phone. We're going to get a foldable Surface device. And we're going to get Windows 9. A secret release of Windows 9. We're going to finally get that Windows 9 that people.
The stripped down version of Windows that doesn't have all the crap in it.
Yeah. That's what we're going to get. Did you see the big stir John Prosser started? He was all over.
No, what happened?
All over the news. So John, a good friend of mine, a big fan of yours, Paul, absolutely loves you. He does this show all the time. He does a thing called Front Page Tech where I'm trying to find the article so I could read this properly. So John on his show said that remember the leaked Pixel 3 that we got a couple weeks ago? Actually, last week.
So he's not the first person claims, to offer this theory.
He claims that that it's a big conspiracy. They did that on purpose, and it's a faked image.
Yep.
And Google contacted him afterwards. He wasn't forced to sign an NDA before discussing it, but Google contacted him asking him for permission to use the Pixel 3 XL video that he had posted in the October 9th media event.
By the way, Google has contacted several video bloggers for exactly this thing, leading to the theory that he's probably espousing that those photos, you know, and someone left a phone in a car, a Lyft car, blah, 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 was part of an elaborate plot. And the theory is sound. The theory is, why would Google want to use videos where people are literally making fun of a giant notch if the next thing they're about to do is sell a phone that has this giant notch on it, that they could only be doing this because they're not going to have a giant notch in this phone. And I have to say, I am not a big fan of the conspiracy theory stuff. You know me, I'm super logical. I should say, I want this to be true because this is potentially my next phone. But B, okay. I think it makes sense. This actually makes sense, unlike most conspiracy theories.
Okay, Alex Jones.
Exactly.
Right. I think it's interesting that they went down that path. First of all, I think it's a great marketing stunt, right? I think it's great. It's a very
Think about this, dude. Apple didn't announce a single thing at their event that was new to people. Everything leaked before that event. Everything. The Google Pixel 3 XL has leaked repeatedly. The Google Pixel 3 has leaked a little bit for months and months and months. Everything leaks these days. If Google could somehow not just avoid the leaks, but kind of take command of it and fool the world, this is the biggest coup in the history of this kind of stuff imaginable. This would be astonishing.
I see it happening already. They're going to have all those videos and people making fun of, you know, the notch, and then or people reporting that it's going to have a notch. People just reporting it. And then they're going to put a big hashtag fake news on top of the video. It's a misinformation campaign. That's what they're doing, right? They're spreading
if it's true.
Yeah. I hope it is, because it actually is a very interesting insight to A, their thought process, and B, their marketing plan. Whoever came up with this concept, by the way, I think this has been going on for years in tech. I think a lot of these images are all leaked within the company. When we start seeing iPhones being, you know, shown, you know, leaks of other phones. Hey, yes,
Andrew.
Sir.
Sorry.
Andrew. Yes.
Andrew.
Yeah.
I lost you there. I don't know if we all lost you, but I lost you for about 30 seconds.
Okay.
So some kind of,
I don't know if you
got Alex Jones nonsense. I don't know what that was, but.
Well, I think that this is a very interesting way. I think companies have been doing this for years where they'll leak an image.
Well.
But to purposely leak the wrong image.
Leak images. What if they actually put a person on a bus every day with a fake phone? How awesome would that be? What if they actually built a phone with this crappy notch and they left it in the lift? What if they actually did this? And by the way, I pointed this out to Brad, but I'll show it to you and see if this makes any sense. Let me find a display where it makes sense. Google Play Store is a good one. This is the OnePlus 6. And if you look at the notch on this, it's a small notch, but see how much space it takes up. It takes up as much space as the status bar that's at the top of the screen. The Google notch would have extended all the way down into this white area. It literally would have blocked part of the app. Android 9 does support big notches, but the notch on the Pixel 3 XL that's leaked is just abnormally large. It's like way in the way. This kind of notch makes sense. You know, the iPhone, they design their own software. It takes up far more of the top of the screen, but it is still not tall. Like I said, I want to believe this is true. I might believe it's true. I hate myself for even going down this hole, but I think it might be true.
I think so also.
I hope it's true. I hope it's true.
Yeah. I hope it's true also. I really do. Yeah. I think it's very interesting, which we'll find out in the cut. That's also in New York, correct? Google event in New York?
Pixel event. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. Are you coming up for that?
I can't. The problem is that's the day I'm flying home from Paris. So I won't arrive in time to go to this event. I totally would have gone to this. Assuming I could get into it. I'm apparently on some kind of a waiting list or something. But
actually,
I'd love
very
to go
interesting.
To this event.
Yeah, I'm very interested in this phone because this could be a good counter answer to Apple. I do think that they're kind of, they realize the mistakes of their previous Pixels. You know, not a nice looking design, the last one. But I do think that they've kind of realized that their mistakes, and they may, listen, this may be the phone. This Pixel may be the one.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll find out. Paul, anything else you want to touch on? I know we started late, guys, and it's my fault. Hopefully, I actually want to get John Prosser on and do something with him. I want to record something with him. Maybe all three of us could do something in the coming weeks. Yeah, Prosner. Everybody reported his name wrong because one person, they contacted him and they all wrote his name wrong. Prosner.
Oh, there.
Which is amazing. Yeah.
That's too bad.
All right, guys, that's it for this week. Quick, easy. Just wanted to do something here. I apologize for the technical problems, but it was out of my hands. We'll see you all next time. Take care.